okay. Recording in progress. That's new.
I had to hit continue on that one. What'd you do over there, Brad?
Yeah, that's new.
It's got to be something new. It's okay. I'll have this all edited out. Welcome back. It's been, 3 weeks since we did a recording. So welcome to the Northern Nerdcast. Joining me, as always, is Adam and Clayton, who still doesn't have Discord, but we won't get into that. And joining
because
us
because I don't
is...
have it.
You need to get it.
Okay, okay.
No,
it's been a busy month. Like I keep saying that every time.
And joining us is Drew from Inside the Game. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me once again on Zoom.
Yeah, Clayton.
Yeah, so, glad to be back, guys.
Yeah, it's great to have everyone back. And I mean, took a couple weekends off to get my trailer all set up and trying to live, and now that we're getting somewhat back to normal, can start doing this again and go. I think this weekend I'm gonna go to Quebec, the country of Quebec, not the province, the country. But nice. So E3 just finished, and that is what I wanted to talk about, because I've been following along with Drew and Scott and all the guys over at ITG whenever they were streaming anything that had to do with E3. And man, for me, there was more misses than anything. Like, the only two standouts, really, and this is, I will deny this, I will delete this video after this, Xbox was the winner. Xbox was the winner. It's just, nobody could hold a candle to what they were doing. Now, obviously, we knew that at some point they were going to be talking about Starfield and Halo. Well, we got the multiplayer of Halo, not the actual Halo Infinite itself, but we'll talk about Xbox after. I wanted to talk about mainly right now. For me, the absolute, I was, okay, so when we were watching the Square Enix showcase, I was disappointed, but I don't think even Square Enix can hold a candle to the atrocity that was the Capcom showcase. Like, DLC for Resident Evil 8 is coming. Okay, that's great. We knew that. But do you think that Capcom even needed to be there? Like, we got a 10 to 15 minute video on Ace Attorney, and then they finished it with esports.
Yeah.
Drew, I know, like, I know you guys did the recap. You're our guest. So what was your takeaway from Capcom?
Capcom didn't need to be there whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right. They had no business being there. They were there. I don't know if they were there just to hold a spot for next year, but honestly, that you didn't need to see Capcom. That was nothing new. There was nothing there for us to see that captured us whatsoever. Now, they did end on esports. Esports is huge. It's not huge for all of us, but when you get into the world of E3, you're not there for esports, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
There's a time and a place for that, and it's not there.
That's the same thing I said. It's like esports, like in even games like Battle Royale games, online only offerings, where it's not so much a new IP or an IP itself. It's more like it's just a genre, right? Yeah. It's like playing a game of checkers with different colored tiles. You know what I mean? Like, they're all Battle Royale games are basically, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. They're all basically the same thing. You don't come to E3 to showcase esports.
No, it's not the place. I didn't think it was the place. I think if you want to touch on it, great, but maybe go for like 3 minutes tops, not for the end of your E3 press conference, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody goes to E3 because it's Christmas for gamers and they want to see what's new and exciting. Mm-hmm. Dude, Capcom was not exciting whatsoever, right? Like, there's just nothing going on. You come out with Resident Evil, I get it. It's your biggest IP right now. Why wouldn't you, right? You launch that and go, okay, cool. Well, we heard the fans, so now we have DLC coming. Well, who didn't expect that to happen? Like, come on.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, we're just like, why are we watching this? Like, it just didn't make any sense. And there's, like you say, Brad, right off the hop, dude, there's a couple misses, but there's a couple great conferences as well. And we'll get there at that point. But for me, yeah, for Capcom, they didn't need to be there whatsoever.
And like it's like you said, it's cool that they were showcasing esports. I don't care about esports. That's just me. Like sure. I completely respect people that play it because there's big money that's involved in these things. And I don't know if they're actually going to be bringing it to the Olympics. I know it was talked about for a while, but to spend 10 plus minutes on something that most people don't really, not most people, again, like that certain people don't care about. It's just like that. Again, they didn't need to be there. I know that like everybody was hyped for Capcom. Like I was reading all these tweets, oh, the Capcom show is going to be amazing. And then like really the only highlight out of it was a 15-minute click and point judge game. And I mean, it wasn't even a highlight. Like it was really the only thing they showed because again, Outer Worlds 2 showed more than Capcom. And Outer Worlds 2 made fun of themselves saying we're not even ready.
This isn't even a game.
Adam, what did you think? Did you watch the Capcom showcase?
I didn't catch the Capcom, but it sounds
you didn't miss anything.
But going with, like you said, like especially to close with esports seems like a kind of an odd decision. Again, it's not necessarily like super niche, but you know, it's not exactly for everybody, so it does seem like an odd choice. And I think we can all agree we love Capcom. There's so many great IPs in there, but to not hear like a new Devil May Cry or another Mega Man property or something like that, like Drew said, this is the time. This is Christmas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is where we're all gearing up and you know, starting to double and triple check our bank accounts and see what we got coming down the road.
I'm already in the red looking at all this stuff. I look at my wallet. Now I gotta get an Xbox because this and so it's I need one. I don't need one. I want one. I will thoroughly convince my wife that I need an Xbox.
Well, or maybe a new mobile phone for all those Square Enix pairings.
No, absolutely not. No, we'll just say bye to Capcom because there's really like I don't want to be negative towards any company. Like, again, we all like the companies. Like love Square Enix, or I shouldn't say loved. I love Square Enix, but their showcase, like really the only thing that I know Drew really like was interested in was Guardians of the Galaxy. And now we find out yesterday that it's coming to the Switch as well. But nothing else really grabbed my attention. Like I'm not a Souls person, and they came out with, I don't even remember what it was. No, but Square, not Xbox. That Final Fantasy Souls game, which is apparently a reimagining of the very first Final Fantasy.
I saw that and I was like, what? You gotta be kidding me. Like, these guys used to be, as far as like when I think of Square, I always think about them pushing the envelope for making our JRPGs accessible to an extremely wide audience. I don't see them as like followers. I don't see them as people aping other people's games, which is sad because it seems like that's what they're doing now.
Dude, they're taking their biggest IP and they're mashing it with one of the largest genres going right now.
They right? also did the Battle Royale one. Why not? Too, right?
Yeah, well, they're working on the Battle Royale and it's only coming to mobile, so it's not coming to consoles. Yeah, well, I know. I was honestly so when they announced it was a Battle Royale, I went, huh? And then they put and it's mobile only. I went, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
That's what this is the same thing too. Final Fantasy Pixel Remakes.
1-6
only on mobile. Yeah,
and mobile Steam
and Steam.
I didn't even see the Steam. Okay, well, it's at coming least
to Steam.
But still, I mean, did we really need that?
I
itemized my Final Fantasy 1-6 collection and sent it to Brad. And it's when I saw it on paper, it's actually staggering how many places I actually own the first 6 Final Fantasies. And there are more. There are more where I drew the line where I was like, no, you're not getting my money again.
Yeah.
But I mean, the other cool thing that I from Square was Life is Strange. I think Square's slowly not they'll never go away from the RPGs themselves, but they're getting more into Tomb Raiders and all these different kind of like series. Some are good, and some are like, some like that Mindjack game that have no place really in any gaming. It's just, to me anyways, but it's just cool to see that they're taking this almost like Telltale style approach to a game where your decisions affect everything going forward. Like you can like in the first one, you can rewind time to try and fix something, but it butterfly affects something down the road. I think it's going to be pretty cool to see what they do. And they're coming out with the remake for, or the remaster on, I think, all the systems. Switch was just announced too. Yep. So if you've missed out on it and you want that portable experience, you can get it on Switch, you can get it on Steam. But again, a lot of people were going into the Square showcase hoping for, like, they briefly announced Final Fantasy 16, but they didn't show anything more than what we've already seen. I know I myself was hoping to see something about the remake part 2 because we just got Intergrade. I loved it. I thought it was really good. Picks up and continues the story on 4 hours longer, but didn't get anything like that. So it was disappointing to see that they didn't show what makes Square Square.
Going into Square, I had little expectations, because for me, Square is, there's two sides of the company. Part of it, I really enjoy what they build, and the other side of it, I don't care. Final Fantasy, I just don't care. It doesn't kind of gravitate to me. It doesn't pull me in. I've just never really been hooked on the world of Final Fantasy. I expected to see Final Fantasy here. I did not expect to see the remake of 1-6, but I expected to see something there. Mm-hmm. What I was looking for, though, was Tomb Raider is its 25th anniversary this year. There is nothing on Tomb Raider. No. There's absolutely nothing whatsoever. I'm like, this is their 25th year. You guys were boosting this earlier in the year that it's a big year for Tomb Raider. Okay, well, we're getting into E3, so where's Tomb Raider? It was nowhere to be found at all. I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So when you get into Don't Nod and what they're doing with the Life is Strange series, that's fantastic if you've never played the first one or the second one, so you can get the remastered, which is September 30th. But if you want to play True Colors, the newest one, that's September 10th, which to me seems like a backwards launch. That's just me and my thinking, right? You want to get everybody in and hooked bright and early, but when they play the new one, because they haven't played, they want to play the first one first and then get ready for the next one, right? You want to get, okay, you all want to get invested into the Life is Strange genre, what they're building over there with Don't Nod and Deck Nine, and then you get into True Colors, but you're getting True Colors first. And I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense either. So this, honestly, a lot of this year was just like, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah.
and the other thing you were talking about, you were excited for a war on Wakanda. It's like Square's other online game, Outriders. Like, there's, once you're done that, what is there to bring you back? Like, I compare Outriders as a third person Borderlands. Like, it's not as funny as Borderlands, and it's Borderlands is not a Square Enix game, but
yeah.
Borderlands, once you were done the game, there were these raids that you could do with your friends. Like, they had released everything all at the same time, and you could only unlock the raids once you had beaten the actual game, because these bosses are substantially harder. I beat Outriders with my buddy, and the only end game content is to find these pods. And in order to get these pods, you have to spend the previous pods to upgrade your pod points. So we just gave up. And then they released a patch saying that they had put a god, every player who reached level 30 and maxed the game, they got a god rolled weapon.
Yeah.
Well, my god rolled weapon wasn't even something that was made for my character's class. It was for my buddy's class, and he got the weapon that I needed, but you can't change that stuff over, which I was hoping to see Square Enix say, us and people can fly. I've heard, you know, we've heard the concerns. We're going to introduce a weapon swap or armor swap between players, but there wasn't anything like that. And like, I'm kind of kicking myself now because I spent $90 on a game that I'm never going to play again unless they start to hey, let's not talk about near replicas, okay?
You tried to sell me on Outriders so hard.
And you know what though, Outriders, even Drew can attest, there are, you know, there's still server errors, but it's a good 45-hour RPG.
Yeah, but you know what you got to remember too about Outriders is that it's basically a looter shooter.
That's
and
exactly
all the
it.
Looter shooters that have come out, like Warframe, Destiny, The Division, they all start out as basically like the initial vanilla content is essentially a stage with a bunch of systems built into it, right? And then the developers build a roadmap of what they want to do for DLC and expansions and whatnot, and they slowly just drip feed you stuff. So at some point in time, if the game is successful, you may end up seeing player trading, you know what I mean, like player weapons and armor, yeah, and stuff like that.
But I mean, would have been nice to have seen, at least acknowledge you've got this massive game out, acknowledge that updates are coming or something. Yeah. But yeah, they didn't even give that. And I mean, I know they're more, it seems like Square's, excuse me, more focused on Avengers and like their new stuff. But
well, they went around for a little while and they were scooping up developers, right? Like they bought Eidos and they bought, what was it, Crystal Dynamics, and they bought IO Interactive, right? So you got Hitman, Tomb Raider, and Deus Ex. And then they started putting out these like really awesome games, but then it seems like at strange points Square Enix just kind of muzzles them. Like, I'm pretty sure that they actually shelved the Deus Ex team for whatever reason after the last one, because it didn't sell as good as they thought it should, even though it did well.
And it was a phenomenal game.
It was awesome. Yeah, I love those games.
I mean, and I mean, like, there's we'll talk about this a little bit farther, and Drew knows where I'm going with this. But I mean, even the game that he was most hoping for, this character's been in everything except his own freaking game.
Don't get me started.
But I mean, we'll
get to Ubisoft.
Yeah, we'll get to Ubisoft. What the showcase for me, like Xbox One E3, but overall, I would say games of like the summer games of Summerfest were that was better than E3. Like everything that they showed at that was amazing. But anyways, Adam, you've been quiet. So like, any thoughts on Square? Like, where do you think they're going, or what do you hope that?
Well, you had mentioned right at the beginning, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I thought that looked good. It looks like a good single-player campaign. I think it's interesting that you're only going to be Peter Quill through the whole mission. You can interact with the other characters. Kind of surprising that they're not going to do at least like every chapter you do a rotation, try someone new, get to, because everybody has unique powers and abilities. And, you know, but they're going to go with it. And right now, Guardians of the Galaxy is still a hot property, especially because, of course, of the MCU. So I think it looks pretty good. And I even thought all the artistic choices, right down to Peter's mask, everything
looked pretty cool. I like that they went their own way with it.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't even look like the actor. Escaping me right now, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, yeah.
You know what I mean? They made their own decisions there, but I mean, all the characters look more like their comic book origins with their own spin on it. And I think everything looks great there. So it does look like a fun property, and I'm looking forward to playing that one.
Is it just me, or did anybody else get like a real Jedi Fallen Order vibe from that game?
Really? I didn't even think of that. To be honest, I saw the combat and I thought, this looks off, when I was watching the trailer, when they were doing the demo.
Yeah,
it seemed
really janky.
It did. It did not seem like it was smooth combat at all. So I'm curious to see. Obviously, it's not coming until October, so we got a bit of time for them to polish it up. But I'm definitely curious in the game. Nate's more pumped about it than I am, but it was one to definitely keep an eye on. I was looking for War of Wakanda. I want to see what's next for Avengers, because this is technically their games of service, and their service for it is awful. So there's no reason for you to even be in that game once you finish the campaign. Like, when you get back to Outriders, I want to quickly touch on that. The fact that when People Can Fly launched that game, they said, this is not a game as a service. You beat the game, you're done, right? That's the difference where that one lies versus where you get into War of Wakanda and Marvel's Avengers. This is a game as a service. So then you need something to keep me there. They are launching that DLC as free, which at one point I'm pretty sure there was going to be a paid DLC.
It was. That was the plan. Right? Yeah.
I know, but they've lost all their player base because there's nothing left to do. So what do? You bring out one of the biggest Marvel IPs and you give us that. That pulls us back in, But for what? Am I going to jump in, play that campaign, and bounce again? Because that's all I've done ever since they've dropped every single DLC within that game. There's no reason to stick around. There's no raid in there at all. There's no reason for me to get my characters up to level 150, max them out, and then do what? Do nothing. Like, it makes no sense.
It's got no end game.
No. Ever heard of Anthem?
Right? Yeah. Anthem doesn't even have a beginning game.
Ah, man, I loved that campaign, but at the end, it was just nothing left to do, right? So, yeah. And Marvel's Avengers is the same thing. And I just don't understand, because it's Avengers. We're talking about Avengers. You have so much resources to pull from. You should have crushed this thing. The campaign's fantastic. You get past the end of the game, though, and just like there's just nothing, absolutely nothing. That frustrating. Sucks.
Yeah.
So much to pull from, even Endgame.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, again, like going on Twitter after, like, I would always check, because that's where all, like, most gamers and like companies, they don't post stuff on Facebook anymore, because Twitter, you can just throw out a tweet and that's it. It gets retweeted. And it was like every day that there was something bad, like Square Enix. And then like everyone was like, oh, Square Enix is the worst showcase. And then Capcom came out and it was like, oh my God, what did I waste my time on? And like, I didn't even watch the PC showcase. Like I'm not really a PC gamer. Like, I've got it because I don't have any other way right now of having Game Pass. So I have the PC. Let's jump into Ubisoft and talk about Drew's hope and what is coming in terms of Splinter Cell and what is not coming in terms of Splinter Cell. So you can take this one away, because you know the most about Splinter. I'm assuming that you know the most of us of Splinter Cell. So,
dude, all right. So right now, Sam Fisher is everywhere, but his own freaking game. And this is the biggest struggle for me. I don't even understand. It's even coming to Netflix, right? But yeah, you can't get his own game. I don't understand what Ubisoft's thinking, what they're doing. And Scott and I have talked about this on the show, and kind of curious about now moving forward, is the stealth genre dead? Right? Because right now there are no stealth games out there to play. And Sam Fisher and Splinter Cell could own this whole genre right now, because they skipped last generation altogether. They put him in Wildlands for DLC. They put him in Ghost Recon Breakpoint for DLC. They've got him right now in Rainbow Six. They've got him on a mobile game. Now they're adding him into Netflix, and yet he still doesn't have his own freaking game.
Like, it has what to are be you Michael doing? Ironside.
Well, but see, that's
my only caveat to that whole thing. It's got to be him.
That's the thing, is Michael Ironside's been in the news, obviously. So he's got to be doing Netflix. He's got to be doing, I don't even know what the game is that he's coming in, where I was watching you guys talking about it, but like, what is it called? Like Breakpoint or something?
Ghost Recon Breakpoint?
No, yeah. The other one where it was like a mix of Splinter Cell, Ghost Recon, and Rainbow Six.
That's their newest one there that they said they wouldn't even touch on it on E3, right? So they're mixing genres together. They're bringing in The Division. They're bringing in Rainbow Six. They're bringing in Splinter Cell. And they're mashing all these IPs together.
All the Tom Clancy IPs.
Yeah. But yet, still no Splinter Cell. It's just like, oh my God, Ubisoft, you're killing me.
That's frustrating. You know, like they really steered that thing in the wrong direction, though. Like, they ended that on a sour note, because I remember the first three Splinter Cells. Like, I loved them. They were amazing. Yep. And then 4 came out, and 4 was Double Agent was cool. It had some good ideas. And then Conviction came out, and I did not like Conviction. I didn't like the market execute system. Nah, there was some stuff that I liked in it, but for the most part, I was pretty well done with it, because I felt like they streamlined all the stealth stuff and they made the game much faster. And I liked slowly creeping around, waiting to pop up behind somebody and snap their neck, and then hiding the body and whatever.
Well, then they came out with Blacklist, though, right? And they sped that up. They sped that up, though.
But Blacklist didn't have Michael Ironside as the voice.
No, it didn't.
Not my money. Vote with your wallet.
Dude, it was a good game. It brought back the multiplayer for the first time in forever, which is something that the franchise has been missing. So you got the spies versus mercs, and it was incredible. Cool.
Yeah.
But that was PS3 and Xbox 360 days.
Yeah.
Right, like it's just, I'm baffled. We didn't see Beyond Good and Evil 2. That's been in development now for 5 to 6 years at least.
Oh yeah, and announced even before that.
And it's just, there's some of their IPs really missing. They did end it on Avatar, which kind of got me pretty hyped up for that to see what that's about. Cinematic trailer, right? So you really don't know what you're getting in for, but it did look really cool. Started off pretty strong there with Rainbow Six Extraction. If you're a fan of Rainbow Six, like we are here over at Inside the Game, ITG loves that game. We play this game. I've got over 700 hours into that game. Wow. So
sounds like, you know, Clayton with Warframe.
3,500 hours.
Yeah, I don't have that much. Holy jeez, man. You should play. You know, there are more games out in the world. You know that,
I know.
Right?
Do you know how many AAA games I have in my backlog sitting at home? I'm like, I bought the special edition. Oh, this will be really nice. I'll play this in 2025.
Yeah, pretty much.
Holy man.
But it's like you said, though, when you, again, throwing this out, actually, while we're at it, where can listeners or viewers find you guys? So
The easiest place is to find us over at insidethegame.ca or on our socials at the official ITG. Thanks, buddy.
No worries. It's like, and you guys were talking about that, like the stealth genre in general just seems to have gone away. Like, you've got Hitman, and that's pretty much it. There's no more Deus Ex. There's no more Splinter Cell.
Assassin's Creed has ditched the stealth, and they've gone out and said they're not using stealth anymore.
Exactly. And I mean, it's called Assassin's Creed. Like, you're an assassin, like you're basically a close quartered hitman, and you're now getting into an action RPG, but all these stealth based games are, and Metal Gear Solid, and we'll touch base on that, because Drew and I had the exact same reaction for this.
But I was losing my mind
The whole stealth genre just it almost seems like all the game companies are like, no one's gonna play those anymore. Everyone's playing, like, I'm just looking at my quest box here, and like Population One, everyone's playing all these first person battle royale style games.
World.
And like, I don't want to sign into a game like Meg where there's 136 players, or like, that does nothing for me. Like, I've seen a lot of gameplay for Chivalry 2, and that actually does look really cool. That's not something I'm not going to be like my buddy Mike, who gets every iteration of NHL every year. And I'm like, dude, it's the same game. if you want Sidney Crosby on Toronto, it's just trade him. You don't have to keep buying the same game. But it's just like all these genres, it seems like gaming now is VR heavy, action, open world, and battle royale, and with a mixture of JRPGs, action RPGs. But a lot of the stuff that, like, I grew up playing, and I'm sure you guys, it's not there anymore. They're coming back with Shredder's Revenge, which is a beat 'em up arcade. When was the last time there was an actually decent beat 'em up arcade? And no one showcased.
Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah,
that one.
Get with it, Clayton.
I meant 4. I just said 3 because I'm...
No, that's why part of me thinks the stealth genre is gone, right? It is dead because Dishonored's gone. Deus Ex is gone, right?
Dishonored,
we do have Hitman, but Hitman is his own unique style of stealth, right? We're not in shadows. We're out in the open. You're taking out bodies, and then you're taking their disguises and then moving on to the next target and going forward with there. So that's a unique spin on stealth itself. But really, the old days of Sam Fisher doing a scissor kick, being up in the ceiling in the shadows, dropping down on somebody, is gone. The idea now of Assassin's Creed stealth is gone. No longer do you hide in crowds, right? Now you blow your goddamn horn, and then it blows in everybody else to do your raid for freaking Valhalla. Yeah. I'm like, that's not stealth at all.
No.
So, no, Assassin's Creed is not Assassin's Creed to me anymore. It is. Assassin's Creed now is just an action game, action RPG. That's all it is.
It's just a name. It doesn't mean anything.
And I mean, it's still a fun series, but it's not what it used to be, like, at all.
You know, a lot of people complained about the first one. They said, it's boring, and it's too slow, and it's this, and it's that.
It was repetitive.
I gotta be honest with you. The whole thing about, like, picking an actual target and then making your way to them, and then after you killed them, putting the feather on their throat to get the blood then taking it back to the creek, to the guild. That was, for me, man, that was amazing. I loved doing that. And they took that out as soon as, like, the second one came along, and it was like, okay, where's the thing about me being part of an actual assassin's guild now? And it was gone. And every one, they moved away from it.
Play Origins. That's the closest one for me that's gone back to the roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Origins. It was fantastic. I have played and beat almost every Assassin's Creed game now at this point. I'm just finishing up on Odyssey, and then I'm going to go back into Valhalla just to finish them up. And then I'm going to rate each one.
The last one I did was Black Flag. And Black Flag, the first one, and then Black Flag, man. Black Flag was, it wasn't an Assassin's Creed game, but it was so unbelievably fun. Like, it was so much fun.
Another cool thing from Ubisoft. Now this series got me into, get me back into first persons, but Far Cry. I really like what I saw with Far Cry 6. They've got the perfect villain, like, and I mean, Giancarlo Esposito has said in numerous interviews that he's not the villain. Like, I mean,
he plays the part, right?
He's playing the part. He's revolutionizing whatever. I don't even remember what the country is, but a lot of people are like, well, that he's like Fidel Castro, and this is almost like a video game version of Cuba. But I mean, it's just really cool that you can literally take any piece of the environment and make it into a weapon. Mm-hmm. But what really drew my attention was the Seasons Pass, which is going to be bringing back. They're doing Blood Dragon 2.
Awesome.
And then they're also going to be doing, and at Blood Dragon's actually getting a Netflix series, which I think is pretty cool.
Are they doing it all in pixel art? That would be amazing.
I don't know. I would assume so. But what really caught my attention was the villains. So you get to play as Voss, you get to play as Joseph Seed, and you get to play as Pagan Min. In these fantasy versions of like where the main characters of each of these games are the bad guys. They didn't show too much about it. Yeah, it is.
Oh, man, it looks twisted. So I'm pumped for Far Cry 6. Once you get to the season pass, I'm out. It is so far off the beaten path. I'm like, man, this is too out there for me. I don't want to be into this part.
I gotta be honest. Like, I love the Far Cry games. Like, even Primal. I thought Primal was great for a game that is all about having like big, awesome, wicked, overpowered guns and hang gliders and stuff. And then they like you ride a saber-toothed tiger brandishing a flaming spear. I mean, how cool is that? That's basically like the nuclear weapon of the Stone Age, right? Like, you're unstoppable. But they did an amazing job on all those games, and I loved all of the settings. And when it came to 5, no, I did not want to go to the
I wasn't crazy about 5 either, like, because it seemed, and that's what one of the worries that I have about 6 is like 4 for me was like the peak, like the high point. Like, you're in their version of the Alps, and like tigers and stuff walk through villages and stuff. But I just, 3-2, but 5 just reminded me too much of what just recently took place over the past 4 years. Trumpville.
I had no interest in playing 5 because I didn't feel like the setting was exotic to me.
New Dawn was awesome.
It was fantastic.
Even that, I didn't even bother because it was associated with 5. I probably should have paid closer attention.
It takes off right after 5, but it was so much better. I had so much fun playing New Dawn.
It's kind of like a Far Cry mixed with Fallout style, like Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And you'd probably enjoy it.
It was cool.
I mean, you got 3,500 hours in one game. Why don't you try something new?
I am right now. Actually, I'm playing through Resident Evil 7 right now.
I don't
No, you know what? I don't either. I am not a zombie guy. Like, I don't really care for it. But this one here is more about atmospheric scares and jump scares and stuff. And it's
I'm out.
No, not him for that. Well, there's a reason why I'm a stealth guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm the one that sneaks around. I don't get creeped up on.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I will tell you that in Resident Evil 7, man, I'm telling you, some of those guys see you like through walls and stuff, and you're sneaking, and all of a sudden they grab you from behind, and it's like, F you, you never saw me do that. You didn't see me. But yeah. I haven't played a Resident Evil game since Resident Evil 2, like on the PlayStation 1. So
you should play Village.
Yeah, Village. Well, I haven't played it yet, but
that's the next one. I want to play this one because the story continues into Village.
Well, we can spoil it for you.
Lady Dimitrescu has amazing assets, and She's 8 feet or 9 feet tall.
That's... 9'2" Get it right.
Yeah.
But like, so was there any showcases that I didn't see that you guys covered, or are we pretty much on?
Did you watch Prime Matter showcase?
No, I don't think so.
Dude, that was the worst showcase I saw the entire conference. It was so Koch Media is a huge publisher. Well, they've launched this new brand called Prime Matter. So they had 2 hour conference of interviews, and it was Scott and I sat here and we're like, why are we still here watching this? And it dragged and it dragged on and it dragged on and it just kept going. I'm like, you're not even showing any games. They brought on developers who talked about launching their new game without a cinematic, without a logo, without a screenshot, without gameplay, without nothing. It was just a conversation. And then they would end every interview with, how important is Prime Matter to you? I'm like, I get your Prime Matter is a new brand that you're trying to build upon. But when you ask every developer you guys now have working with you, how important that is, now I don't care. Like, it really turned me off. And I was so soured by it all that I was pissed watching it just keep going and going and going. It was easily the worst press conference of the entire E3 week.
Sounds like a bad sales pitch. If you're running you're running such a hype, you want everybody to talk at your company, and then but no one has anything to produce.
It was weird, Adam. Yeah, like, it just didn't make any sense, man. That's why I said Scott and I sat here and go, really? Like, again? And then we just wait for it and go, ah, there it is. What does Prime Matter mean to you? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
You make a drinking game out of it.
We could have. Like, seriously, I would have been hammered, man. It was so bad.
It kind of sounds like when we all watched that that Xbox indie on Twitch.
That was better than this.
Yeah, not by much from what you've been saying, but
at least we saw gameplay.
Yeah. So. Adam, was there anything that stood out for you, like, and with any of these showcases? Like, I know you touched on Square and stuff, but from what you saw from E3, like, is there anything that you're excited for?
Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll touch a little bit more on Nintendo, but the one I wanted to get with before we invaded Ubisoft, I loved playing this game. And once I got this package, actually, this was kind of random. I fell into this because we had a Walmart that was closing up locally, and they liquidated stock. So I got this for quite cheap, and but it came with the Donkey Kong DLC and everything. And I absolutely loved it. In fact, I actually owned a copy of the game, but this was going so cheap, I actually rebought it just to get the statuette and everything. So I'm really looking forward to it. I love that Nintendo, basically because of the Wii U, is playing nice with everybody now and trying to really push those properties. They were, you know, they've always been really good with Ubisoft, who was a pretty strong supporter with Zombie U and a bunch of games right at the beginning of the Wii U's life.
Starlink.
Starlink.
That was a cool game, man, but it died so early.
That Toys to Life, that was like, I love Ubisoft, but that Toys to Life was like everyone was out. Like, Activision was done, Disney was done,
you know, Lego Dimensions.
There was a massive economic downturn, right? And the toys were expensive to produce, and you know what I mean? Like, the economy was in a good place, and then all of a sudden it wasn't, and everybody's like, okay, we got to dump this stuff. Like, we can't support this.
You can actually find a Starlink base game at Walmart for $5 right now.
Yeah, I think it's got the big, like, the big clear plastic case and everything with it.
I've got the PS4 and the one with Fox on the game, on the Switch. $5 each.
Nice.
Locally, they've seen them at Dollarama.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same with the Disney stuff. Like, you can get like Luke Skywalker and those figures.
Love Disney Infinity. I was so disappointed when they shut it down, because 4 was really gonna take it to that next level, and it was this close, and then they just went, you're done. I said, no, don't do that, because I had so much invested into that game. Man.
Disney Infinity?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We had 70 characters plus. Me and my kids would play that all the time. I loved that game. I was able to talk to the developers about the game, and it, man, it was awesome. It's such a cool IP, and now it's just gone forever, right? But I still got all the characters and stuff behind me. But
yeah,
man, they had some cool stuff. It was so cool. But yeah, 4 was this close to coming out, and then they just killed it.
Yeah,
damn.
Do you want? No, go ahead. Sorry.
That was the one I thought that would actually make it because it was Disney, right?
Yeah,
they had Disney behind them to do this. So I thought if anybody could survive, it'd be them or Lego, and neither one made it. So I was just like, yeah. Crap.
Yeah. So did you want to talk about Nintendo or Xbox next? I'm leaving it up to a vote.
Okay,
well, we'll talk about Nintendo. Like, Nintendo did have a lot of good stuff that came out, like you said. It kind of got spoiled. Well, it wasn't even Nintendo that did it. It was Ubisoft, but Nintendo went ahead and spoiled the whole thing about Mario Rabbids before they could. But I mean, we're getting another Just Dance, and my kids are excited about that because it's Just Dance.
I'm so sorry, Brad.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm glad
my kids don't dance.
It is what it is. But I mean, like, and we knew that at some point, Breath of the Wild was going to have to be mentioned because they talked about it years ago. And then it just kind of like, oh, you guys want Breath of the Wild? Okay, well, we're going to do Age of Calamity. It's sort of Breath of the Wild, but not really. And then, so, I mean, it was still a good game, but yeah, it wasn't what a lot of people were hoping for.
It chugged. That's the problem, well, right?
Dynasty Warriors. That's what it was.
Yeah,
I know, but it was fun. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
But so like we knew that. Sorry, what was that?
No, sorry. I'm just saying that's what I mean. Like when Nintendo's starting to play nice, like they're starting to even promote their properties. They're keeping a very tight knit, and they had their own team like write that story.
Nintendo does what Sony don't.
Yeah, no, but that sure. I mean that's what I mean. Like they're starting to even just play outside of their first party offerings like HAL and everybody, and starting to put a little faith in other people to play with their properties.
Well, they don't want to end up with another Legend of Zelda Wand of Gamelon, like for the CDI. Like if they just let things go too loose, you know, things can go into all kinds of crazy territory.
Like,
no, that's absolutely right. And for that reason, it's why their branding has probably been so strong, but they played so tight to the chest with the Wii U. That nobody developed for it. I mean, you can argue about soft, like the actual hardware and various things too, but like eventually they were the only ones publishing.
Well, who did Calamity?
That was, wasn't that KOEI?
Yeah, I think so. It was one of the companies that makes one of those big battle type.
Well, it's like Team Ninja definitely. Doing Final Fantasy Origin.
Yeah. Yeah. They did Neo though. Like they already had basically
that's,
that template.
That's one of Drew's favorite games, Neo.
Oh my God. It is so hard. The second one was even worse. I literally got 15 minutes into that game and quit.
Yeah, actually, I got 15 minutes into it too and quit because it's in my backlog. But how would you rate that to a FromSoft game? Like,
it's incredible.
No, it's is it harder than a Souls game? Easier?
No, it's harder. I'm not a Souls guy either though, right? So we gotta get that.
But that's the thing too, Team Ninja was known for a crushing difficulty in games when they released the original Ninja Gaiden games.
Yeah.
Like the Xbox ones, awesome, but brutal.
Yeah. But our guy Nate, he can get into these games, and even he had the hard time with this one. It is so hard.
Okay, challenge accepted.
You say challenge accepted, then what you should play is Ghost Runner.
Well, I've beat all the Ninja Gaidens and I've beat some of the Souls games.
Okay, so just
now I gotta put it this way,
okay? Ghost Runner is a one hit, you're dead, and then you have to start over.
Oh, like a roguelike?
No. I have it on the PC and I streamed it and I rage quit. Not really rage quit, but anyways, let's I'm actually excited for Ghost Runner 2, but maybe they'll make it a little bit easier. I doubt it. But I actually was able to pre-order this, and I'm really excited. I'm not a Zelda person at all, even though I'm wearing a Zelda shirt right now. Because
What did you get?
I pre-ordered the Game & Watch.
Oh, you did? Why?
Because yeah, I have the Mario one already.
Yeah, me too, actually. I have to pre-order that now because I already have the Mario one. So
that's
but it's when three you said games.
When you said it the other day, Brad, you're like, I can't wait. I got to get that. I was going to say, yeah, it's going to look great on the shelf next to the Mario.
Exactly. And that's why.
I never opened mine either.
Because this is crazy. This is what Nintendo does, is they know that there's going to be a huge demand for these things, just like the NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic. They're not going to make enough. I've pre-ordered mine. If I see it go to $300 on Facebook, I'm putting it on Marketplace. But no,
I'm not.
No,
but, but you see, what they did right about this one, to me anyways, is they did the first two from Nintendo, which...
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed those two, and I loved Link's Awakening. After that, I just kind of lost interest. So to get three games in one, now, should they have done what they did with Mario, the 3D All-Stars? Yeah, they should have. They should put Ocarina, and they should have done all that on one Switch case, but I don't think we'll see that. But
I don't know, never say never, because they have like the Zelda collections for the GameCube there. They have the Ocarina of Time and Master Quest, and then they have, what is it, the first four games. They have Majora's Mask, Link four 1 and Swords. 2, and yeah, Four Swords was part of A Link to the Past, the Link to the Past Game Boy Advance card, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've done a couple of collections in the past. Like, they have done them.
And then, lastly for me, I love this series, and I know this isn't Drew's jam at all, but Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Oh no!
Like, I love those games. I have Persona. Like, I've got all the spinoffs. That is what Square Enix should be focused on. Is the JRPGs what made them Squaresoft, Square Enix, but. I'm really looking forward to it. Yes, it's got PS2 graphics, which everyone says, but if the story's good and the gameplay is good, it doesn't bother me. So, but I mean, okay, we'll open it up. Like, what are you guys looking forward to most from Nintendo?
Metroid Dread.
That looked cool. Actually, that did look cool. I'm not, honestly. So I kind of went into Nintendo like I did with Square. I know some stuff is going to speak to me, and I know a lot of it is not, because when you get into, you know, WarioWare, it just Mario Party, super, like, nope. But I do want to play Mario Golf.
Right? Yeah.
That Super That's Rush looks like fun. A ton of fun.
It's always fun.
I got to wait now, obviously, for Breath of the Wild 2, which I didn't think we'd get it this year, but I'm pretty excited to at least see something out of it, which is nice, even though it was just, like, really... like a lot of CG more than anything else. But dude, when you get into the sky, like, that's gonna be, it's gonna be so cool.
I heard all the, like, the run up to it, people are asking about Breath of the Wild 2. I was like, man, I'm not even interested in that. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna play the crap out of that.
What do you mean? You were the one that was trying to sell us on Breath of the Wild 1,
the first one. Yeah, it was amazing, but it's like, after you finish it, you're like, well, what could they really do with it, you know? How could they make it better than it already is, because it's such an awesome game? But then now the dungeons are in the sky. Ah, they just went the one place I wouldn't think to go. They went up, and I'm like, oh, man, cool.
They did that with Skyward Sword.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's different. Brad, it's different. It's a whole new... You wouldn't understand.
I'm sorry. Sorry, sir.
I'm excited for it, though. And Metroid Dread. And I'm not crazy about the idea about, like, being chased by the little Beebots there, whatever they call them. But the actual, like, the fact that we're getting a new 2D Metroid game is awesome. The only downfall, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that it's not sprite-based, which, I mean, that was never going
to
happen.
Well, so. Wasn't Scott saying this was the direct sequel to Fusion?
Yeah.
Never played Fusion. I like Prime. I like that idea. And then... I was never really one about, like, Metroidvania, like, whatever that style is, but
Fusion was good. But in my opinion, Zero Mission was better. Mission was the remake of the original with the extra content at the end was amazing. It was an amazing game, but Fusion added a bunch of new stuff. So
was Fusion the 3DS? That was the most recent.
Fusion was Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Yeah, Game Boy Advance. And it was like, it was almost, I think Fusion was actually the sequel to, was the sequel to Super Metroid. I'm pretty sure. Because she gets out and then her suit gets infected with this, I can't remember, some kind of spore or something. And then the scientists get her back to the lab, and they peel off all the her armor to find that this spore has like fused with her body, hence fusion. And then it allows her a bunch of new powers and changes a bunch of stuff about how you play the game. It was good. It was really good. But I was a huge fan of Zero Mission. Like, love it.
Your turn, Adam.
I was going to say, I think it was that 3DS team that's developing Dread here as well. And that 3DS one, I think there were some mechanics that not everybody loved, but I think overall it was reasonably well received. So
I think it's the same team that did the Samus Returns remake on 3DS, like last year or whatever it was. Yeah. When they did this pseudo 2.5D, you know what I mean? And you had the frame and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. And yeah, I believe it is the same team coming back here. So mm-hmm. It looks pretty good. Yeah, of course, Breath of the Wild 2. I like that they showed the one clip there. He's up in the tower and they just kind of, the new mechanic there, he kind of just bloops, goes through the floor and comes up. And I thought that looked pretty neat.
It's almost like they took a Link Between Worlds and put it in that style.
Oh, so good. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know, like Drew's saying, it's not for everybody, but like my kids love the Wario stuff.
Oh, man.
So, as soon as I saw that, like those mini games, though, like they're just so funny. Like, and even some of the ones, like with the motion mechanics, like you're just tilting really fast to like eat this plate of sushi and stuff like that. I remember going to a party one time, they put on the Wario Smooth Moves for the Wii. And set it up so it was like 16 players, like literally everybody kicking around had to like run over, and you had to know your letter and run over and grab the controller and slice like a ninja or something, or you were out. Like it was, they're just so kooky, but man, we do like those games. So I know when my kids saw that, they're just like, yay.
That's one thing Nintendo does good. They do everybody, right? Young and old, family, action stuff like that.
That's right. And I think, again, like, you know, not saying one so much better than the other, whatever, but going back to the previous ones we've mentioned, the other showcases, is it seemed like it was kind of just like, well, everybody's like esports or something. You know what I mean? Like it was very direct to a market, and Nintendo's was a little bit more broad in that sense, I think.
So how about that monkey ball?
My littlest guy likes Monkey Ball too. He plays it on his 2DS. You know, I don't know that he'll be getting it anytime soon.
They're fun games.
That's what about you, Drew?
Santa for that one. So.
Yeah, a little bit of everything, right? That's what I said. I'm really looking forward to Mario Golf. Is kind of what I'm really got my heart set on right now at this point. And it's close too. It's at on the 25th. So I'm not that far out from actually getting my hands on it, which is nice. Breath of the Wild 2, we got to wait till 2022, which is not a big surprise. Honestly, even if they have to delay it, I'm okay with that too. Just Nintendo's Nintendo, right? So you know they're going to take care of their IP and make sure it's perfect before they launch it.
Don't cyberpunk me.
Well, that's just it, right? Make sure you launch it right. That way, when it does launch, everybody's more hyped and pumped about it than disappointed, because when... It doesn't take much for a little bit of disappointment to spread like wildfire, and it just wrecks everything. So, yeah. No. Nintendo, I thought overall was cool. But, yeah, definitely some weird stuff that just doesn't speak to me. But, you know, that's why there is, like, kids who do, like, the WarioWare and things like... They make it for a reason, right? Because it does sell to an audience. Yeah. But, yeah, it's Nintendo. It takes Nintendo in order to create those properties, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, everything they make is not going to be for one person, but they do make something for everyone.
Yeah.
So then moving on to the biggest, obviously, showcase at E3, which was Xbox Bethesda. I mean, again, we knew that they were going to have to show something about Starfield. I knew we weren't going to get gameplay. I knew all that, but the trailer didn't really show me anything that made me be like, that is the game that I am waiting for. The only cool thing, and it's a blink and you miss it. And the only reason I found out about it was because somebody had noticed it. when the guy's walking through and you see the side view of the computer, on the bottom of the computer, there's a little island, and it is a Easter egg to Elder Scrolls 6. So you'll have to go back and look. Cool. It's a really weird shaped island, but it's like, from what I've been reading about Starfield, they're saying it's a Han Solo sim. And I mean, like, what does that mean?
I'm going to just jump in here. I have played on and off Elite Dangerous for a couple of years now. I've watched on and off Star Citizen, all the footage they've showed of that. I played all of the Mass Effects, and I played through Jedi Fallen Order. And I feel like Starfield is going to fall somewhere a little bit inside of all of those games. And I know it's like way too early to say anything, but I'm just going to put my money on the fact that it's not going to do any of them supremely well.
And that's what I'm worried about. Like,
because sim wise, like Elite Dangerous and Star Citizen have taken it to the absolute nth degree. You know what I mean? Like they are, if you ever check out Elite Dangerous, it's amazing. Like it is amazing. It's almost plays almost like a spreadsheet, I guess, but because everything is systemed out, right? Fuel, weight, your inertia, the Milky Way galaxy is completely mapped out. Like it's actually quite an incredible game. Just when you like looking at the actual mechanics of it, I don't feel like anything smaller. And I don't even know, is it a games as a service thing? Is it a single player campaign? You know what I mean? Like
nobody knows. Nobody really knows.
That's the thing. Like that, like, yeah, it's cool. Like, and I mean, just the back, like we knew that when Microsoft bought ZeniMax and all this, that like their big titles were not going to be coming to PS5. Even some people were joking saying, oh, well, it should come on the Nintendo Switch Pro. Like there's certain games that you will see on, like Deathloop's getting a timed exclusive first, and then it'll go to Game Pass, PS or Xbox. But you knew that Starfield's not coming to PS5. Well, Elder Scrolls probably will not come to PS5 because these are their big titles. Fallout most likely won't either.
I call timed exclusive. I think that Microsoft will use that software to push the console, and then after a certain point in time, they're going to say, okay, open it up to everybody else.
Because I think you're wrong.
There's still money to be made. You think so?
Absolutely. I think so. You're wrong. You don't spend $7 billion to give IP away.
Yeah. No,
you spend $7 billion to draw people over to your console. And that's what Microsoft did this weekend, was with E3 and their Xbox conference. They showcased 30 games. Out of those 30 games, 27 are coming to Game Pass.
Yeah.
Right?
So
that's what they're selling.
But hear me out now. So you pay $7 billion for a developer, whatever, and then you say that everything is exclusive, and then you sell the games on that by that dev for a year and a half, whatever, until you've made a good chunk of the money that you can make off of that game, and then you port it to something else, and then you basically kick it in the pants and you reinvigorate the interest in it.
I get it. I still think you're wrong.
Yeah, okay.
I think what they're doing is they're loading up Game Pass. Take a look at Game Pass.
I totally agree.
It is massive, right? It is massive. We walked away from E3 for Xbox and went, holy crap, everything. So now you get this concept in your mind going, really? Well, by the end of that, Brad messages and says, I got to get an Xbox. You're damn right you do, right?
Because, and how many other people did that?
Right? Well, that's just it, right? They saw all these properties coming to Game Pass. Right now, Xbox doesn't give a crap about Xbox. They give everything about Game Pass. That's what they're selling. They're bringing it to TVs. They're bringing it to every platform possible. And they're stating that eventually you won't need a console. That's not what they're banking on. They're not banking on the console. They're banking on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And that just draws and it draws and it draws more people to Game Pass. And if you can only get Bethesda titles on Game Pass, that's all they care about. You will not see that title reach a PlayStation. And why would you? I wouldn't do that. Not a chance. PlayStation has Spider-Man. PlayStation Ratchet has God of War, Ratchet and Clank, right? Like they do have these titles that draw you to PlayStation. So why would you give them the opportunity then to keep that those people going to PlayStation? You want to draw them over to your own side. And that's what you do by building up Game Pass so well.
Why is Minecraft on PlayStation?
Because that was a deal that was already done. That was already done, right? That deal was already there. But they bought Mojang after it was already on this platform, that platform, this platform. It was on every platform
already.
But
they still invest the money to support it.
Absolutely, because it makes them a ton of money.
Exactly, it makes them a ton of money.
Yeah, but if you can still draw people to one service only, that's what they're there for, right? They want to draw Game Pass.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just think that like after a year or two, when the hype, because we are very hype-based culture, and this is a hype-based landscape, that after the hype for a specific game on a platform has died down, and Microsoft feels like they've made all the money that they can like make on it, and the sales have sort of dried up, that maybe they would open it up to other ones. But I wouldn't, if I was them, I would make you think that it was going to be a console exclusive until the day you found it on PlayStation. You know what I mean? I wouldn't give nobody a reason to wait.
I understand.
I've seen other people make that argument too, but I think again, like even just history, we've never, outside of those random deals with Philips, we don't see Mario migrate to any other consoles but Nintendo. Legend of Zelda, any first party IPs, they hold on to them for a reason. And I get what you're saying, like you sell them everywhere, like look, like you can buy Sonic everywhere, but that only happened when Sega got out of the console market. So I think once, you know, if you can draw people into your own hardware and stuff, and like Drew said, now they're actually pushing, it's really more a service. And if you can be first past the post here, be the first Netflix, and then have someone else trying to scramble to catch up to build theirs, then you know what I mean? Like, just wait, if they ever make that deal and they really get Game Pass going and it becomes the service, like Drew's saying, they're now talking about the basically like the Google dongles that you can plug into your computer or into your TV, or even have the app right on your TV when you buy it right out of the store.
xCloud.
Once you start getting those things going, and all of a sudden, you know, just throwing it out there, but Nintendo and Xbox have been playing nice. If you can start to get a couple Nintendo titles over there, I really think that's a stretch, but I'm saying, you know, if you're first out there, then because Nintendo is not known for their online stuff in any capacity.
Oh my, they're awful. They're so bad. But
they don't seem to know what they want to do. Like Nintendo store and all of that stuff, the virtual console, like they really crap the bed with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Clayton, let me send me my, I'll send you my gamer tag on Nintendo. Oh, wait a second. It's a 20 digit number. Hang on. You got a pen and paper?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they don't. They don't have a clue what they're doing when it comes to the online service model, unfortunately. But they've had it played out in front of them this entire time with Xbox and PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Both consoles have nailed it. Xbox led the charge. PlayStation eventually caught up after the PS3 kind of figured things out near the end of its life cycle. So it's not like they didn't know moving forward into the Switch what to do for online service. They just chose not to do it the right way.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, and the thing was, the virtual console was an absolute gangbuster for them for the Wii. And then by the Wii U, they kind of just let it fade. And
now, why?
What are they doing? You know?
Yeah.
Like I had a little... made a little video over on Svenny McGee, but it talked about how
self-plug.
Go ahead, man. Go for it.
Everybody's got a shower now. That was dirty. But I talked about how the Nintendo 64, it's never coming. It's never coming. You've already got Mario 64. You've already got Pokemon Snap. Now they're taking all the Mario Party stuff. Sorry, I said Mario Party. Mario 3D All-Stars, right? Mario 64. Yeah. But now they're taking the Mario Party stuff, the best of it from all the 64 versions, and re-releasing it there. Like, so where are they going to go with what's left of the Nintendo Switch Online? Look at the last couple titles we got. Joe and Mac? Like, there was nothing there. There was a couple oddball Japanese releases and like nothing now. Like, we got Mario Picross, which I actually loved, but, you know, there's not much substance there. You got some of your core games, all the Castlevanias getting their own release now with the Castlevania collection, the Contras getting all their own release, getting physical through limited run, etc. But the Mega Mans did all their stuff through Capcom. Like, they can't pick and choose any of these other IPs that made their initial consoles famous. So yeah. Now they've already released like their core games there. You have your couple Legend of Zeldas, and you know, Rare's got, they got the deals there with the, I don't know what the, where it stands with the Donkey Kong countries and stuff, but like, you know, it's really slim pickings there. What can they negotiate to get Super Mario RPG with Square on there? Like, you know, there's so
that
many
happening.
No, that's what I mean. There's so many holes in there that core games. So now what is the future of Nintendo Switch Online? I don't know. Like it's looking bare bones. That's for sure.
And you so talking about Rare, that actually brings me to the other highlight. And this is a game that I've never played, and like Drew lost it. Like Drew fangirled when they showed Sea of Thieves mixed with Pirates of the Caribbean. So
oh yeah, that was
I mean that like as and it was funny because like you see the whole setup, and then all of a sudden like you see this pirate sitting in a jail, and you see the dog come with the key, and it's like, oh my God, that's Jack Sparrow. And like, it's just like, and it's not a game that I haven't gotten into it just because, again, I didn't have Game Pass until recently. And I know it was one of those games like Fallout 76 when it first came out, like there wasn't much meat to it. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they've got a lot to it. So I would like to eventually jump in and start playing it, but like, it was just, it's really cool to see, like, whether or not Disney's partnered with them or if they've just given permission to do this, I think it's going to be really cool. And, like, it opens up this whole world, like, to have all the Pirates of the Caribbean characters in some form appear down the road, or if they're going to be all in this new expansion. So, Drew, you can take it away, because you're
I was pumped. I was absolutely pumped, right? So I've been out of Sea of Thieves now for a while. It's one of those things, if you play solo, you know, it's not what it's meant to be, right? It is a party, almost like a party game experience in a sense. You're out there to go with your friends, hang out, kind of shoot the breeze and have a good time. Sometimes you get absolutely trolled and it wrecks your 3-hour night as your ship is no longer there and you've lost all your treasure, all your gold, all your skulls, you name it. It's all gone because this other crew came in and just rolled you completely. Or, you know, just the Kraken comes out of nowhere and sinks your ship. But it's just the unexpected of that game. And then to see that Jack Sparrow is there. Because, like, when's the last time you saw anything out of, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean? So to have that brought in to Sea of Thieves, hey, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And it instantly made me download the game. And I was back in. And I just saw, actually, my buddy Kyle's on it tonight. I was like, damn, I got to get over to go play, right? Because it's getting ready for when Jack Sparrow launches. And now what they did when they first launched is they just go, here you go, get a treasure map, and then go find some gold. Cool experience for a while. But then after that, it's kind of like that games of service model, right? Well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Well, they've then started to implement story beats to it and more content and more. And over the last few years, there's so much to do. There's so many new things in the game. And it's just an exciting time now to get into Sea of Thieves because there is so much. And then with Jack Sparrow there too, wow, it got me pumped. That's for sure. I was so excited for it. I thought, honestly, Xbox nailed the conference because they came out, they talked very little, and then they showed us games. And then they came back to Pete Hines, who talked for very little, and then showed us games. And then they came back. It was Phil Spencer talked for a little bit and then ended it off. Like it was just go, 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 where everybody else is just talking and talking and just, it just dragged out their conferences, where Xbox just kept hitting us and hitting us and hitting us with more stuff. And though not all the games I was looking forward to at all, but there are a ton of games that definitely I can't wait. Like the new Forza Horizon 5 looks incredible. Yeah. There's so many games. Halo, I'm not a big Halo guy, but you're damn right I'm gonna play this one. Like Halo Infinite looks cool. I'm not a big multiplayer guy for that, but it's gonna be a ton of fun when we play with the guys and go over there and do that sort of thing and do our let's play and do whatever for the show and all that kind of stuff, right? But Xbox was just, it was just hard hitting the entire time. It was just a good pace. And I think over the last few years you've seen Xbox really figure this model out. And how do we keep everybody engaged, right? Because on these other conferences, people just drifted. You could see us live streaming these events just going, And, you know, I'm starting to fall asleep watching you guys because you're just talking, where Xbox didn't do that. It was just another game and then another game and another game and then a little conversation and then another game and more game. And it was freaking awesome to see.
And like that, talking about losing interest, like I think that you guys like interacted with us more on you or on Capcom's thing when you were streaming than even paying attention to the show. Like I even made a comment like, are they still showing Ace Attorney? And then you started laughing and reading the comment, and it's like, like, but there was just, again, I don't want to go back on it, but there was nothing there. And it's just, it's very hard to be excited for something when you show literally three things. Oh, and Monster Hunter Stories, which looked pretty cool.
It does look cool.
But I mean, like, other than that, why were you there? But like, it's just that's just how it was for whatever reason. But like, when you drew yourself or quiet, you know, it's good because and then like watching you and Scott and all the guys getting closer to the screen, like, oh my God, it's Starfield.
Yeah. Well, Nate's so excited, right? But he's based it off the fact that it's Bethesda. He knows, he's done a lot of research ever since the conference about the game, so he can tell you a lot more about it than I can. Yeah. Just because he's a Bethesda guy. I'm not a Bethesda guy. I'm an Arkane Studios guy, right? I want to see Dishonored 2, and then Dishonored 3 isn't happening. We're getting Deathloop, which is on the PlayStation 5, which is fine, and I'll be over there to play it, but we're not going to get another Dishonored because you've seen them transition out of that stealth thing again that we've talked about, right? So there are very limited when it comes to World of Bethesda games that I like to invest in. I'm more on the Xbox side of stuff, so I was pumped. But yeah, Nate is all in on Starfield, and we all know very little, but you base it on the fact that it's the same team that brought you Elder Scrolls, it's the same team that brought you Fallout, right? And those games Nate has played the crap out of. He's got so many hours invested in that. So when you, it's kind of like when you play The Witcher 3, Brad, and then you get excited to get into Cyberpunk because you know the pedigree that you're already at,
right? And then you get let down.
Well, that's the disappointing part, unfortunately, with Cyberpunk, right? Which shouldn't have happened in the first place because of the pedigree that CD Projekt Red had put themselves at. Well, this is where now the hype has come from with Bethesda and Starfield. No one, all they did last year was show you the splash screen with the title on it, and everybody lost their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it took, right? And all of a sudden the hype is there, and now everybody's anticipating. And that's what Xbox is now, because they go over and they buy ZeniMax for $7 billion. And now they brought the hype over, right? You saw them touch on the fact that how many studios do they have now working for Xbox, right? The big thing for Xbox was, we don't have anything. We don't have anything.
Now
you go to them, holy crap. Now they're right up there with PlayStation. And I want to, okay, you want to talk about Xbox, you can keep going. I do want to talk before we leave, though, Brad. I want to talk about PlayStation quickly.
Yeah, well, that was what I was leading into, because PlayStation, arguably, when they've been at E3, and like, this isn't something that I'm saying as a bias, but PlayStation has won E3 every time they have been to it. And then for the past whatever years, for whatever reason, like, I know they're doing State of Play and stuff. And I mean, it's just, it almost seems like PlayStation has gotten into that comfort zone where, well, we're PlayStation. We're just going to write off the name. We're PlayStation. Okay.
They've always done that.
Yes.
They've always done that.
But it seems like more so they're not going to these things. They're branching out more to do their own thing. They didn't show up again this year, which doesn't really surprise anybody.
No,
but I mean, their next State of Play, at some point PlayStation has to have a counterpunch to Xbox.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that in a battle, like, oh, well, we're two people fighting over whatever, but like, that's how it's always been. PlayStation comes with something. Xbox comes with something.
It's an arms
PlayStation
race.
Counters with something. And I mean, like, yeah, PlayStation has some massive first party games coming out. You got God of War Ragnarok. You've got Forbidden West. Ratchet just dropped. But like, I mean, I don't really know what else PlayStation can show, because unless they've got these massive IPs that nobody knows about, I don't know. Like, and Jim Ryan has said, Game Pass isn't our model. Well, you're stupid for thinking that. Like, this, they've shown you that this works. PlayStation Now is good, but it's not Game Pass good. at all.
Sony has traditionally been pretty anti-consumer, though. Like, they're like, ever since the PlayStation 3, when the Xbox Live Store came out, and Sony's offerings were like paltry. They weren't charging the money, but everybody's like, "Yo, you guys got to step it up." And Sony's like, "We're Sony." That's That's always their answer. We're Sony, you know.
Yeah.
And for a long time, the criticism has been leveled against the Microsoft consoles that they do not have the exclusives that Sony has. So they went around with their extremely deep pockets that even Sony can't match, and just started scooping everything up. And they're like, "Okay, well, full deck. What do you got now?" You know. And Sony is still singing the same tune. And I mean, yes, their AAA offerings that they have. Yes, God of War Ragnarok is coming. Even we got Last of Us 2, and then what was it, Forbidden West? But those exclusives are already the games that spawn them, the IPs that spawn them, are already at least a generation or two old. God of War has been around since the PS2, right? Ratchet and Clank, PS2. Horizon Zero Dawn is last generation. Last of Us is last generation. Or
no, PS3.
PS3. Like, they actually don't have a whole lot that is new coming now. Now, so, they have, these games have incredibly high production values, but where's the fresh meat?
They're working on 25 titles right now, and half of them are brand new IPs. So they are coming.
Yeah.
We'll see what comes next out of Sucker Punch. We'll see what comes next. Oh, well, honestly, Ghost of Tsushima was their new IP.
And that was incredible. It was so good.
It looked incredible.
Oh, it was amazing.
I got to tell you, man, the last 30% of that game just basically threw the first 60% out and just threw enemies at you and reduced all of the cool mechanics to just button mashing. Sorry, man.
Go back to your
play your Warframe.
Hey, man, we played the same game. Come on, tell me about it. The one-on-one combat was cool. The ability to call out enemies when you got to the forts was friggin' awesome. But by the end, they were cutting animations out of the enemies so that you almost always lost those duels. And then when you got to the last boss, it was like this enemy rush where it was just X, 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 and you're just trying to hack your way through them as fast as you could. They lost all of that really cool... They were driving you towards stealth and assassinations the entire game. And then right at the end, they're like, oh, nope, it's an action game. Just like the first Assassin's Creed did at the end, where you had to like hack your way through like 200 enemies before you got to El Masyaf there. I'm telling you, it was annoying. I loved the rest of the game. I frigging loved it. But I really felt like they dropped the ball at the end.
Well, that's fair. We'll see what they're working on next. I would like to see them come back to E3. I think you can feel their presence is missing, right? You also saw EA push to now July, which is just odd to see them move, right? They brought Battlefield 2042 to the Xbox stage. So that was cool to see for all the Battlefield fans. It doesn't really matter to me personally.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. I'm going to play it just because all the guys are going to play it and we'll just goof around and have a good time. But they're like really excited for the next Battlefield. Having EA and PlayStation not a part of E3, though, it really lessens the hype of the event. Yeah. And you could feel it this year as the overall, you know, by the time we've wrapped up from, I think Jeff Keighley kicked it off well, right? The Summer Games Fest,
a great show.
Was fantastic. And I thought, this is awesome. This is how you get it started. And then from there, it just kind of was like a roller coaster, right? We just went up and down, up and down, up and down throughout the conference. And it was just, man, I really hope one day that Sony honestly just pulls their head out of their ass and comes back.
I don't think they will, though. No, because they've got their state of play. It's like Nintendo does their Nintendo Directs and stuff. And it's hard to say, but I think for me overall, just to wrap this up, because it's getting a little late now. If E3 had flowed better, like, it's to the credit of all these showcases, it is virtually impossible to follow up against Xbox. They should have, I personally think they should have ended with Xbox, and like Capcom should have started, because people could have been like, okay, this is opening. It's like a Rolling Stones opening for like the Weekend or something like that. That's how this is. But I mean, so then you Square Enix and like finish it with Nintendo opening for Xbox, and like it would have been a lot better. It would have felt a lot better paced. you could have skipped over that talking episode that you guys watched for 2 hours. But like, I just felt for myself that it was just a flow problem. Like,
yeah,
you can't top Xbox. Like they came out blazing and then, oh, Resident Evil DLC is coming. Well, that's great. Thanks.
The high point happened way too early in the proceedings.
Yeah. Or have the Games of Summer start E3 and then have Xbox finish it. Essentially that's how it went, but that wasn't part of E3. Like, that was his own show, which was cool.
I'm curious to see what they take away from it this year with all the feedback from everybody watching. Yeah. Right, and really a lot of the disappointment from people as well watching all these conferences and how they unfolded, and what's the procedure look like next year when they launch E3 again. E3, I'm happy it's back. Right, I was so excited for this year's event, and then watching a lot of it was cool, and then some of it not so cool. Obviously, we talked a lot about what was not very good about it, but then there's a lot of good stuff that came out of it too, and it's just nice to see the industry come back together. I think that was the biggest part we missed, especially last year, because we didn't have that. Right, it was so spread out all summer long, and everybody had their own conference and their own state of play and their own direct and blah blah, and it dragged, right? So if we can work now towards getting that hype cycle back again with E3 each and every year, we'll see if it'll actually turn itself around, or like I thought in the past, is E3 really just dead now at this point?
No, I was going to say, like, Brad, you kind of mentioned it, though, like Nintendo still called it a Nintendo Direct during the E3. And in the past, they pulled out, too. Like in 2017, 2013, Nintendo skipped E3 altogether simply because they didn't have the offerings. They didn't have the Switch ready to go, which is now 4 years old, or enough to say about it at the time, or the leading games that were going to be coming with it, different things like that. So they wait and then they do their own. So like you said, maybe PlayStation is going to come out shortly, like maybe closer to fall, and put out a big state of play to get a Christmas hype going. And in this case, like maybe this is less is more here. I mean, we're talking about them. They didn't even attend the concert, as opposed to saying like, well, gee, they sure bomb like Capcom. You know what I mean? Like maybe that's the mentality. I don't know that they may never return to E3, but maybe this was just a timing thing. Like right now, production cycles, obviously the year everybody's had, things are so far behind. That's part of the reason why people, any speculations why the Switch Pro wasn't announced. Some people are speculating it's going to be, again, Nintendo doesn't want to throw it out there, build a huge hype, and then find out by Christmas when they're supposedly going to actually launch the Switch Pro is, again, chip shortages, they're not going to make demand, people are going to be all cheesed off, etc. Or also historically, they've announced the 3DS, and back in 2010 that didn't do well, and then in 2014 2013 they announced the Wii U, and again that was also a disaster at E3. So people are speculating. I saw an article from Polygon saying that this was a smart move not to announce the Switch Pro. I don't know. What do you guys think? It seems like it's coming. It sounds like it's coming. Everybody's leaning on it.
I think it's got to come. Honestly, it has to come. Because like I said, we talked about Hyrule Warrior earlier, right? The lag and the jankiness in that game. It's just, honestly, it's just old tech now. And that's why we're not able to keep up. Now that we've... So the Switch was already old when they launched, right? Because PS4 and the Xbox One were already in to the Pro and the Xbox One X. So they're already behind the tech. But that's, it's Nintendo. So Nintendo does what Nintendo does and really doesn't pay attention to what PlayStation or Xbox does. But now that we're into the PS5 life cycle and the Xbox Series X and S, they're now way behind. And you can feel that, though, playing the games. And that's the biggest part, right? When you're a gamer, you can feel that, man, I'm feeling like I'm a little left out here playing some of these games just because the technology is that far behind. So I'm looking forward to the Switch Pro. The sooner they can announce it, I was hoping they would announce it at the conference. Not surprised that they didn't, right? But when it comes, I need to get it. Like, it's just, I'm curious though, will it have pro games, or is it going to do what Xbox does and say, hey, just bring all your titles with you?
Yeah, I don't know, because like the 3DS had some new 3DS exclusive games to it, based on the hardware itself. And that's what I'm wondering, is they're going to be like that? Because one thing that was kind of bizarre was the non-announcement of the Pro, and then saying, oh, but you know, you can get Guardians of the Galaxy on cloud. And that was bizarre. If they have new hardware coming, why are they still announcing cloud-based games just to be able to run it? Because you can't, the system itself is going to chug if you throw in a cartridge. So well, I don't know.
How well do you think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to run on the Switch?
Oh, as well, is.
Put it this way.
Yeah, they can barely... But if you had a Pro version, if they knew a Pro version was coming and they're still talking cloud, that's weird to me. I don't know.
They could barely run Hitman 3 on the Switch.
Right. Also cloud.
And like the biggest the tell Witcher? That the Witcher and the Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Like the Outer Worlds lagged like there was no tomorrow. Like anyways.
Switch Warframe Pro. Runs great on Switch.
What's Warframe?
What is this game you speak of?
just saying. So what?
Can I just quickly weigh in on
go ahead.
What are we talking about? As a long time Xbox gamer, I've been with them since the beginning. I have suffered at the end. I have been at the butt of many, many, many jokes about the my console of choice. So all I have to say is fuck all of y'all. We won. It wouldn't have mattered if Sony was there or not. Rise up, my brothers. It is our time. It is Xbox's time now.
I wait for the green confetti to start sprinkling.
Yeah, I've been waiting to pop this forever. Yeah, no, I'm actually really excited because the big criticism that everybody has been leveling at Xbox for years now, and one that I can't even deny, is that we didn't have any exclusives. And I mean, right. I always play the Sony games, and I can't deny, like, games like God of War. I love God of War, the whole series. And even Last of Us, all of their exclusives are super awesome. And now I want that to be Xbox now. You know, I want Sony to have actual real competition, because everybody right out of the gate, right? The Xbox One's launch was terrible. They built up a ton of goodwill after the 360, yeah, and then they shattered it all when they announced the
online only.
And then, yeah, and then this whole, through that entire generation, they chugged, and then they came out with the Xbox One X, which is an awesome system. I love my X. And now they have the Series X, and it's been a rough go for them, too. Like, Sony is just kicking their ass all over the place. So I'm glad that they finally, like, manned up and started grabbing some serious, like, putting some serious cash where it needs to be into the software. Because they came back with an absolutely awesome console in the X, but it doesn't matter if you don't have the games. You need to have the games.
I'm still playing all Xbox One games on my Series X.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I haven't even actually bought a X yet, like, because there's just nothing. There's nothing yet for it. But
no,
now
it's not.
I can
there's
see
nothing
that it,
yet. You're just bitter that you can't get one. Let's just leave it like that.
Dude, that's the other part of the equation.
It's so fast. Like, you do notice the difference between the Xbox One X, which I had, and the Xbox Series X. It is so much quicker. And the quick resume, half the time, as a cool feature as it is, half the time it doesn't even work.
Oh, well, that sucks. Man, how's it going to run Warframe, though?
It won't. I don't think you can find it on there.
It's not on there yet, actually.
Yeah,
they haven't ported it yet.
It's like, actually, I thought they did up-res it.
No, maybe up-res, but I don't know that they did an actual dedicated release for it. So.
I can't remember if we got a press release on that. I think they did, or it's coming this month. One or the other. I can't quite remember.
I'll play it.
No kidding.
All right. Well, we'll end it there. But again, if you guys want to plug yourselves, now's the time. Clayton, we don't care about you. So
I have nothing. I am Xbox 2020. I have nothing.
you should push your Instagram. You got some.
Yeah, you've got some good art on there, man. Like, really good art.
It's coming along. We'll see.
So push
Iron_Obo_ on Instagram.
Iron, you have an underscore at the very end?
I think so. I'm not even sure. I'm too busy concentrating on making
art. I'm pretty sure it's the underscore iron underscore hobo.
There you go. Now you know. My light's dying. I don't have a lot of
money. See, that's how we know it's time to go. Okay, Adam, go ahead, man.
Svenny McGee here on YouTube. Again, covering a lot of retro stuff, mostly getting into a lot of handhelds right now. Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I see those. Keep bumping them out.
And our guest of honor, you do the honors for yours.
Hey, Brad, again, thanks to everybody for having me tonight. It's been a lot of fun. I always love talking, so it's kind of what I do these days. You can find me over at insidethegame.ca and look for us everywhere else on the official ITG.
Perfect.
I was saying thanks, Drew.
You put your hand up.
We'll do this on Teams next time. I'll put a little raised hand. I liked you guys had the Father's Day picks. I thought that was a great video.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, that was our latest episode right now. You can find over on your TV streaming networks.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely get everybody back. Anytime anybody wants to come on, just shoot me a message. But we've got State of Play to look forward to. That's like hopefully coming before school goes back. That seems to be, they usually do it twice a year, once in the beginning. And
they've got to have something right because of E3, because they were not at E3. They did showcase the Horizon Forbidden West State of Play. So there's something coming, I would think, sooner than later.
But until then, not until then, because I got to get back into doing this. But thanks again for coming on, and we'll definitely pick this up again.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening, guys. Take care.
See you later.